Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Netza Mazoz. Hello. On our show today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the Jewish look. Throughout the generations, we see that Jews had a special look, and we'll try and understand what do these things symbolize internally, and can they teach us something about our life here and now? Whether we're religious or secular, doesn't matter who and what we are. What do these Jewish symbols symbolize? And I'd like to tell you a short story. When Jews from Yemen immigrated to Israel, there was a big issue about their side locks being cut off. This was probably a big correction in the eyes of the Zionists. Maybe. My grandfather, till his last day, wore side locks, and the Yemenians call the side locks simonim, which means signs. And because this is how I grew up, then to me it seems natural, but I remember that this friend of mine came to visit me from abroad, and when he saw my grandfather, it was like traveling back in time, like 500 years ago in Yemen. And this is also how they live here in Israel. And he asked me, and I didn't exactly know what to tell him. So this is my first question. For generations, also in Europe and other places, Jews left sideburns, side locks, it says about it in the Torah, and I see that there's a lot going on around a person's hair. And you have here the hair and the signs, and what does it symbolize? And also to add to that, there's also the beard, meaning around this box that's managing us called the head, there's hair, and you have very clear instructions. Here you have the beard, here you have the hair, the side locks, this, that, this entire thing. What is it? It's called the 13 corrections of the Dikna. And in Hebrew, this is in Aramaic, the 13 corrections of the beard, which means what? It means that from the head, the light comes down to the body. The light, meaning this is how the upper force comes down from a higher degree to a lower degree. And this is symbolized by the rosh, the head, and there are the side locks or the sideburns that come down from the head, being the main thing. It's the highest sign of the light coming from the head downwards. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, you have these parts, and then these parts, the safam, mustache, the ucha, here and here. You have a place empty of hair. You have the shibolet of the zakan, and the beard itself, with its upper part and its lower part. And all of these are signs that this is how a person's built. And all of this symbolizes the upper system that is governing our world. That from the head, which is the upper thought of creation, the plan of creation, the purpose of creation, that from there come down orders. Orders come down to us by 13 passages, which are called the 13 corrections of the Dikna. That means that this entire external appearance symbolizes 13 laws that come from the upper nature, from above down, that if we want to become like them, then we have to remember them. And therefore, in our physical appearance in this world, we have to be like the relations between these forces that come from above and that clothe in us. And that operate us? And what is this special force that exists around the peot, the side locks? It's how the Gar de Chochma comes down from the Rosh of Arichanpin. What do you mean? Doesn't matter. In the Torah it says that you shouldn't cut off your side locks. Something like that. What does that symbolize? That those passages of the Chochmah, literally meaning wisdom, it's forbidden for us to stop them, to cut them off, because without that we'll dry out. What do you mean? That we won't be operated from above. A person needn't simply walk around with side locks, but he has to correct his side locks, his peot. It's an inner correction that connects with the upper mind. The inner correction of the peot, of the side locks, what does that mean? A Jewish person on the street, he doesn't know about these things. Okay, this is why we're asking you. It means that we have to resemble the upper, the creator. Like, make your desire like his, make your thought like his. In mind and heart, we have to become like the upper. And this is how a person comes to realize what he was created for. Repent, O people of Israel, up to the Creator your God, as it says. Okay, I understand that these are very deep matters, and this is why I'm not getting into it, because we'll only get confused. I'm a nutnik. I'll ask anyway. What you can explain, great. What you can't, I respect that. You said 13 passages of wisdom, of chokhmah, and you also talked about an upper system that's controlling us, and from it come down orders to us through the 13 netivot of Chochmah, 13 passages of Chochmah. You have these 13 channels from above that operate us down below. What do you mean from above? From the upper force, the upper mechanism, the hidden mechanism of nature. There is such a thing. There is. The fact is that you don't know what's going to happen the next moment. What does that have to do with anything? The next moment, it comes down to you, and then you understand, you feel, you start operating, you hold your hand like this or like that, and thought and desire. Look at how the upper force is operating her. Continue. The 13 passages of Chochmah, wisdom. What wisdom are we talking about? The Chochmah is the upper light that works this way in order to develop a person and to bring him to identify with the Creator, which is the purpose of creation. And all the creatures have to reach this degree, and all shall know me from small to great, as it says. So what do I have to do so that lots of chokhmah, lots of wisdom will pass on to me through these passages? You have to know how to resemble the Creator. What can you do so that He will clothe in you as quickly as possible, so that His orders will dress in you in a soft, smooth, quick way, out of your own free consent? Will this make me chacham, wise? Of course. What is chacham, wise? He who learns from the Creator about what's going on in the world and creation. He's called wise. Is there any other wisdom in the world? All of our wisdom comes from above. The 13 passages of wisdom. The operating orders come down upon me through these 13 passages and operate, activate my thoughts and desires, everything. What's the formula to become smarter, wiser, to identify, to what? The formula of how to be wiser. This is something that comes by the upper light that clothes in you. But how to allow the upper light to clothe in you? For this, you have to perform certain actions of connection. You have to connect with others. where you get organized in a group, mutually helping each other. This comes from Abraham, our patriarch. And then, by helping each other, we unite, we connect. We help each other, mutual bestowal. We awaken the force of connection, the force of our vut, which is the force of mutual guarantee. And then by that, we form our mutual desires so that the upper force can clothe in them, to clothe in them in a way that we can understand him. Yes, because he just said that he operates me even if I don't know, I don't identify it on the animalistic level. But if you perform different actions in order to understand him, meaning you build a special field called the Shekhinah, divinity, for him to reveal himself there, then in this work of putting together the Shekhinah, divinity, God, you start discovering him, you get to know him, and then he starts revealing himself in the Shekhinah, and there you're together with him in mutual work. You perform certain action, and he reveals himself, and again and again. There's something that interests me as a woman. I suddenly asked myself things that I never asked myself before, because a beard is something that only men have, of course. So why does a man have a beard and a woman doesn't? A woman, she's not a part of these corrections. What do you mean? That's how it is? A woman has to help the man in all these things. Meaning, she has to perform these things, but the symbols and the gist of the obligation is upon the man. Okay, a beard, it's something that you can see. Even secular people grow a beard. But side locks, that's something different. If you see someone with long side locks, obviously that's a Jew. Meaning, there are many wise people, Hindus, that grow a beard and also cover their head. What's so special about these side locks that only Jews have them? Again, it is the very first sign for the cascading of the passages of the wisdom of the Chokhmah from the Rosh, the head, to the Panim, the face, and the Zakan, the beard, and the Guf, the body. I mean that for the moment I can only remain curious about the Netivot Chokhmah. No, these are mechanisms for the coming down of the special orders from above to operate a person down below for him to ascend in his attainment, revelation. There's another Jewish symbol. It says in the Torah that a person has to wear a tzitzit on his garments and to cover himself with a tallit. And there are two customs about it. One is to cover yourself with a tallit that has a tzitzit on its four sides, and during the day to wear a small tallit with a tzitzit. What is that? Anything that a person covers himself with, and it has four corners, he has to put the signs of the tzitzit on it. What does this symbolize? This symbolizes the spiritual kli in which there's the yud, ke, vav, ke, the four letters, the four parts, chokhmah, bina, zaran, bin, malchut, that come from the keter. They also symbolize like an edge, the edge of the head, also the edge of the garment, which is the end of it. Also in a field, you have its edge, its pe'ah. There are different things about it. That's also the orla. There are different signs on different degrees by which you put an end to things. You symbolize the end of something. By this, you symbolize that thus far I can make corrections and no more. And this actually symbolizes the extent to which you can or can't resemble the Creator, because there is a limit to all the corrections. The extent to which a person is capable of performing them, and you know what your boundaries, what your limits are, and therefore you don't breach them. So the pe'ah, the edge, it symbolizes the boundaries. Yeah, it's like the pe'ah, the edge of a field that you can't use it, but it's for someone to come and take from there. So you put the tzitzit on the four corners of your garment in order to symbolize what? I understand that the process in general is that a person wants to be more and more like the upper force. In general, that is the process of a person's development. So in a sentence, what does it mean to always remember to be like the Creator? Love another as thyself. I'm afraid to say it because it's always okay to resemble the Creator. It's to love another. Okay, this is the general process through which a person develops, and all of these Jewish covers, these are signs that come to remind us about the inner process. Yes. Okay, I asked you, why do we put the tzitzit, the fringes, on the four corners of the garment? You said that a person's garment, his dress, symbolizes his spiritual vessel that has four sides. And you also said that the tzitzit symbolizes the edge, the limit between how much I can resemble the Creator and the extent to which I can't yet resemble Him. The boundary, the edge, separates between what and what. You put it exactly right. It's the limit of my ability to resemble the Creator. The limit of my ability to be in love another as thyself. Yes. So, my dress, it covers my body, right? My garment, it covers the body. So what does it symbolize? It's like a screen, meaning I can't, it's, of course it's hard. If you want, great, let's sit here for a month, at least. Maybe to look at it from a secular point of view. Because suppose, when does a secular person meet the talit? When he has a bar mitzvah. Yeah, after the bar mitzvah, you put it in the cupboard till you get married. Yeah. So the secular people also meet the talit from time to time. So what's the idea that a bar mitzvah child covers himself with the talit? It's called or chozer, reflected light, meaning that he covers himself with the talit as if it's the upper light. It symbolizes the upper light. So the upper system, what? It sends us a kind of a light, force. What is that? Yeah? The upper system gives us the light that envelops us. And in order for us to merit this light, we also have to become like it. Let's say that this is what the act of covering yourself with the talit symbolizes. What does that light change in me as a person? It corrects my desire from an egoistic intention to an altruistic one. So when a child covers himself with a talit, it means that he has already reached a state where he can make sure that his desires will be corrected. Okay, so now my child has a bar mitzvah, suppose, so I can tell him that the fact that he's covering himself, it's a symbol that from this point and on, he can correct himself and become like the Creator, to be Jewish. So covering yourself with a talit, it comes to direct us at an inner, heartly action from one person towards another. Yes. Now you said that a person corrects his intentions from egoistic to altruistic. Yes. What does that mean? When I cover myself with a talit, I want to remind myself about, not only to remind yourself, it's like drawing the light, It's like the screen. In short, to help myself to become corrected from being an egoist to becoming an altruist. This is what Judaism is all about. And covering myself with it. It's that I want for this light to control me and fulfill me from above entirely. Like to wash me, like there's an interesting action here of consent that a person draws that light to operate on him. Only it's not by physically covering myself, wrapping myself in a talit, but it means that internally I'm ready for it. And all of these actions, they're just a symbol, a sign. I want to ask something about women. Up till now, we talked about men's hair, the side locks, the beard, the talit. Okay. So, first of all, intermediate summary. What a person has to do in life is to shift from being an egoist to becoming an altruist, to achieve love of others, and to resemble the upper force. Yes. Now, I never saw my grandmother without something covering her hair. And she probably also didn't have hair. She actually had long hair, but I never saw her without something covering her hair, her head. What does it symbolize? The same it symbolizes for men. It's the burden of the kingdom of heaven that she is under the upper force, accepting his control over herself. Okay, but there's more to it. And if for men it's from birth, then a woman only after she gets married. Right. Why? A man. A baby at the hospital, when he suckles milk from his mother's breast for the very first time, they put a yarmulke over his head. Really? Yes, really. That's how it is. When a child's born, today you maybe already know in advance, but when a boy is born, you prepare a kippah. Of course. The husband, standing waiting with the kippah in his pocket, immediately takes it out, puts it on the baby, and the mother feeds the baby. Without that, it's forbidden for the baby to eat his first meal. But for a woman, only when she gets married, she covers her hair or head. Why? What does it symbolize? Because then she's in a state where she can sustain herself as a woman. Where, without being next to a male, her man, husband, when she starts belonging to him, without that, she does not belong to the Creator, only to the extent to which she's really with her husband and she keeps his desire. This way, she can also keep the Creator's desire. By covering the head, when a man covers his head, he has to put something over his head. When my grandmother used to cover her head, my grandfather, he had a hat. It's on the head, but for the woman, the sages said that she has to cover all of her hair, not only a part of them. Why the difference? It stems from the correction of the hair being something that belongs only to the men. And for women, even ultra-Orthodox Jewish women, they shave their hair. Why does that correction belong only to the men? Because the women, they can't perceive these 13 corrections of the Dikna. These are the 13 passages of the wisdom you talked about previously. Yeah, they can't. It's only a man who has the masach, the screen, the ochozel, the reflected light, that he has the ability to become like the Creator. And this doesn't pertain to women. Our time's almost up, so general question. Today we talked about different things, but there's the matter of modesty towards women, towards men. There are different such things. You can't get a tattoo and so on. Yeah, we don't get to that. So maybe really, why is it forbidden to get a tattoo? Because you're not the owner of your body. The way you were born, this is how you have to remain. It's forbidden for you to do different things. Tomorrow, it'll be fashionable to have a third ear here. Will you do it? According to the Torah, you can't, because it's not a matter of fashion. The way the Creator created you, this is how you have to be, and that's it. And not to change anything. What do you flaw when you get a tattoo? What does the body symbolize? It's as if the Creator created creation with a lack, with a flaw, and you come and correct it, like with your pretty nails. It's an adornment. What is an adornment? That's something else. It's the woman, the egoistic will to receive, that feels that it's lacking. Then it fits it to perform such corrections over itself called adornments. And therefore, women do wear adornments like a ring in your nose or in your ears. Not on the fingernails, but suppose. It's something that suits a woman, not a man. Because the man, he's as if parallel to the Creator. He's as if complete. If he has the kippah, the three corrections, the brith, and so on. Whereas a woman, she feels she's lacking in external appearance. This is in parallel to the upper force that demands of us to perform corrections over our will to receive, which is symbolized by the woman. Last question. We have 1 minute left. Today we talked about different elements that exist in the appearance of a Jewish man and about other elements that exist in the appearance of a Jewish woman, and you said that there are differences. Now, a person, inside himself, I heard you say many times that on the inside, every person is both included of the male force and the female force, and we said that all of these Jewish customs, they're only something external that comes to direct us at something more internal in the direction of love. Right. So, any person, doesn't matter who, man, woman, do they all have to undergo these inner processes? Yes, regardless of their sex or how they look. So, there are these Jewish symbols. A man has a beard. A woman has that. That's only the exterior. On the inside, everyone has to keep everything. So, tell me, what do I have to keep? What does every person have to keep in order to receive the, how did you call it, all this chokhmah, the wisdom that comes from above, to achieve the correction of his egoistic desire to the point of love another as thyself, and from there to love the Creator, your God? What do you mean from this to that? That the first stage is from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator, meaning, to explain what love is? In a word, exactly what the other wants, that you should do. Exactly what the Creator wants, that you should do. Ask your wife, what does it mean that you love her? That you'll do exactly what she wants. Right. You see, Judaism arranges everything. Only we don't want to keep it. Okay. Concluding sentence. We talked about the Jewish looks. A Jew, it means someone who achieves love for others. Others, it means both. Other people, and also the Creator. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.